Hi, folks. I'm Rudy Carney, and I'd like to welcome you to the second episode of the Preparing Your Family podcast. As you can tell, no fancy movie voice guy, no fancy intro, nothing like that. Just me sitting here in my home office late at night talking to you. So last episode, I had some complaints about the volume, so I've tweaked it a little bit, and hopefully this works out a little bit better. If not, please let me know and continue to send me your feedback. As you probably read earlier this week, we have officially survived the Seattle Snowmageddon 2012 event. It's an annual thing around here. We get a quarter of an inch of snow, and the weatherman goes crazy, and they dress up in, you know, big giant parkas and have lots of fun. I think they do it just because it's the only time when they can actually do it. This year we literally had live cameras driving down the freeway in vehicles showing us what road conditions were like. It was kind of bizarre. In all reality, we had about 8, maybe 9 inches of snow where we live. Not a whole heck of a lot, especially if you're from North Dakota or, you know, Minnesota or something like that, and you're used to a lot of snow, but around here people go pretty crazy with a quarter of an inch of snow or so. We've actually had schools closed because there was a threat of snow. There was no actual snow, but there was a threat of snow, so they closed the schools. Go figure. We were not happy that day. Snow days in our household, they make for pretty chaotic days. So, in any case, a couple of updates before I get started with the main topic for the day, for today. First one is that I'm sending out another survey this weekend. You should see that in your email inbox on Saturday if you are a subscriber to my newsletter. And if you're not, why not? You should be. So look for that survey, and I thank you ahead of time for filling it out. It'll be brief, only a couple questions, and thanks again. The other thing I wanted to say is thank you all for the emails and questions that you send me. I try to respond to every single one of you that sends me anything. And as most of you can attest to, a lot of these questions end up as blog posts, so that I figure if one person asks me a question, there's probably a dozen other people out there that have the same question that didn't take the time or have the gumption to ask. And so by writing about it in a more public way, it helps everybody out. So keep those questions coming. I really like them. I love reading your comments. And when folks send me notes that just simply say thank you for what you do, I tell you there's not much nicer things that you could say to me than just a simple thanks. Moving along, today's topic is frugality. It's a bit of a loaded word, most of us, you know, we think of one certain thing when we hear the word frugality. We think about saving money, you know, pinching our pennies and using coupons and do-it-yourself projects and, you know, mowing the lawn and changing our own oil and doing our own car maintenance and all that type of thing. The dictionary definition of frugality is prudence in avoiding waste. Nowhere in there does it talk about money. But almost every single one of us, when we hear the word frugality or the word frugal, we think of money. And we think of saving money. Now, without getting all biblical, in 1 Timothy it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, whether you're Christian or not, this makes sense, especially if, like I do, you think about that and you interpret the phrase love of money to be an unhealthy obsession with money. Now, back to frugality. When you say frugality and you think about money, that's a bit as obsessive. When you're focusing all of your frugality efforts on money, it's an obsession. Now the question is that healthy or not? Now, in my mind, focusing on money and how to save every single penny, it trains our mind to think about money as a finite and limited resource, which it's not. It sounds kind of crazy to say, but money is not a limited resource. We can create more money for ourselves in our lives whenever we want. Frugality for me is not really about money, it's about resources. Money is certainly one of the resources, and it's one of the most common ones that we think about, but it's not the only one, and it's definitely not the most important one. The most important resource that we have is our time. Yes, our time. Because, like I said, we can always get more money. Always get more money. But you will never, ever get a single minute longer on this earth than you have right now. So 5 minutes from now, those 5 minutes, they're gone for good. You will never, ever get them back. Think about that. How precious is every minute if you realize that it's the last time you'll ever see that minute? If you spend a dollar, you can get that dollar back. There are a bunch of ways to get that dollar back. But if you waste time, or you spend your time in a way that is unwise and it is not in line with your priorities and with your values, you've wasted it and you'll never get it back. So what's more important to you, your time or your money? For me, that's always, always, always going to be time. Because for most of us, myself included, our money is directly tied to our time. We spend our time at a job and we earn money. If we don't spend our time at a job, we don't get the money. Pretty straightforward, right? Our boss isn't going to pay us if we don't show up. So if you think about that, then frugality really becomes making a decision, a trade-off between our time and our money. We have to make the decision whether the time it takes to do something is worth more or less than the money that you save by not paying for it. So, for example, if you make $25 an hour at your job and mowing your lawn takes you about an hour, the neighbor, the neighbor boy, he says he'll do it for $5. Does it make sense for you to spend the hour mowing your lawn? Unless you really like mowing your lawn? No, not really. You could spend that hour, at work, but better than that would be to spend that hour doing something more important, like playing with your kids or spending time with your wife. Now, another example from our life recently, today up there this Wednesday, so that you're hearing this on Thursday, so that would be yesterday. I posted about my wife's cleaning stuff that she's been making at home. We'll use the laundry soap an example. You pay maybe $18 or so dollars for a jug of reasonable quality laundry soap around here, and if you take the recipe that my wife posted and back out all the amounts and make a comparable amount of laundry soap, it takes about 10 minutes to make, and it's maybe a dollar, probably closer to 50 cents worth of material. If you convert that into an hourly rate, that's over $100 an hour. I don't know about you, but I don't make $100 an hour. So it sure makes sense to us to spend that 10 minutes and that 50 cents and make our own laundry soap. It gets even better if you look at some of the other, like the Windex equivalent, the glass cleaner. If you look at that stuff, it's water with a little bit of vinegar, maybe two, call it a nickel even worth of stuff in there, and 2 minutes to pour it into a squirt bottle and kind of shake it up a little bit. That's a pretty good return on that time spent. I look at the extreme couponing shows that you get on TLC, and I'm guessing by now they've probably got some other networks up. And I know some folks who coupon that do it in an incredibly intelligent way. But a lot of the folks on that show may be a little bit less intelligent about it. I've watched episodes where they're spending, upwards of 50 to 60 hours in a week, and they're saving $500. That's 12 or so dollars an hour. Doesn't include all of the expenses that they have with buying papers and coupon clipping services and stuff like that, because otherwise they'd never get that many coupons. But if you ignore those expenses, you're still better off working a job at McDonald's, because McDonald's around here pays more than $12 an hour. may not be the case where you're at, but here in Washington, we've got some pretty high minimum wages. I'm not digging on couponing. I'm just digging on blind couponing that says I'm in this for the thrill or the sense of false frugality by saving $500, especially if that $500 is on, 30 jugs of some soda pop that you'll never ever drink, or something along those lines. So the bottom line is you got to be smart about your decisions. You have to be smart about, how you trade time for money and where you choose to spend your time instead of spending your money. Like I said, for me, I value my time more than my money, so I'm more likely to spend money to save my time. So, unless you really love mowing that lawn, don't do it. Spend the hour with your kids and flip the neighbor kid $5. I'll tell you, it's tough to not focus on money if you don't have very much. I know in our household, we've had times when we've really had to make a dollar stretch, and my wife, bless her heart, is amazing at doing that. She's way better at it than I am. And the way she can make a dollar stretch if she has to, it's just unhuman sometimes. And then there are times when we don't have to, and those are nice. But when you do have to, it's tough to not obsess about where every penny is. And it's tough to not lose sight of what's really important. And what's really important is your time and spending that time doing what you love and doing that with the people that you love the most. Now, a while ago, I touched on how I believe, and I think there are a lot of people that are smarter than I am that believe this as well, that there is always more money to be had. And I'd be willing to bet that there are some of you out there that kind of scoffed or, thought I was crazy when I said that. But every single one of you who's listening to this has some way to get onto the internet, or you wouldn't be reading my blog or listening to my podcast. There is a tremendous amount of potential for you to make money off of the internet. Look at some of the bloggers out there that are writing preparedness blogs. They could throw AdSense up, get advertising money, and earn a few extra bucks every month. Look, there are some other people that have products that they sell, whether it's through their website or not. The family whose name escapes me at the moment over at, I think it's the Rural Revolution blog, they craft and sell handmade wood tankards, and kind of a very much a niche product, and I think they primarily sell them at things like Renaissance fairs and stuff like that, but you can buy it off their website too. They found something that they really enjoy doing. They like working with the wood and, putting their touch on these things, and they enjoy interacting with their customers, and they love what they do, and they've been able to make money at it. You can too. If you need some extra money and you know how to write, you can make $5 in 5 minutes by writing a quick article. Maybe it doesn't quite take 5 minutes, maybe it takes 10 or 15 minutes to write. But you could write a quick article on something for $5. And people will pay you that every single day, as many times as you want. You can write as many articles as you have time in the day for. And you can do it from home, sitting at your computer. If you need some extra money and you know how to do computer stuff, you can make a ton of money helping people do stuff that they don't have time, don't want to spend the time on, or don't know how to do. Let's take WordPress for example. If somebody who doesn't have any real computer background wants to start a blog, they can either spend 3 or 4 hours and learn how to install WordPress, or they can have someone who already knows how to do it spend the 5 minutes that it takes to actually install WordPress. Now, if I knew that I could go and I could give somebody $5 or $10 to install WordPress for me, yeah, it only takes 5 minutes of their time, but it saves 3 hours of my time. Will I do that? Every single time. So you have to think about what do you know? How can you help people? And how can you turn that into money if you need it? If you don't need it and you're happy doing what you're doing, great. But there's no excuse for sitting down and saying, I don't have enough money. This is all so expensive. There's just no way. I have to focus on, saving every single penny that I have. I'm going to spend all this time doing all this work all by, on my own, even though I could pay somebody to do it for me and I could free up that time. Don't focus on the money, folks. You can always get more, but you'll never get any more time. So don't sacrifice what's truly important, your time. Be frugal where it really counts, and don't blindly save a dollar at the expense of your own personal time and taking that time away from your family and your loved ones. Well, that's about it for tonight. In closing, I want to leave you with a quote from a gentleman named Zig Ziglar, who you may or may not have heard of. I'm guessing a lot of you have. He said something once that has really impacted my life, and I wanted to share it with you. He said that you can have everything you want in life if you give enough people what they want. Think about that. If you help other people get what they want, you'll get whatever you want. Have a great week, folks. And don't forget, leave a comment, send me an email, let me know what you think about this episode. And if you liked it, share it with three or four other people, because I think this type of thing is something that's important for people to hear. I think there are way too many of us, especially in today's economy, that are focused on the dollar, when we should be focused on our time and what's really important. Have a great night.